Good morning and welcome to another edition of Biz Talk. We're really glad you joined us this morning. My name is Tony Bush in the studio this morning with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony, and how's everything doing today?
It's going fine, a little wet out there, hopefully it'll cool off a little bit now. But our business program this morning is going to bring you a guest that's been in Appleton doing business for 35 years. We're very happy to feature as our guest this morning John Raines and his wife Sarah, who own the Frame Workshop in Appleton on Highway 15, 00 Northland Avenue. They have a great story to tell. We're going to share that with you in just a few minutes. But first, we wanted to...
Tony, just need to just check one more thing here. Okay, now life is good. My gremlin did follow us in today, so...
The show must go on. So, we're going to talk about the SCORE chapter. We're going to tell you that the SCORE chapter is located in a chamber building in Appleton on North Superior Street, and our phone number is 734-7101. Our website is foxcities.score.org, and we invite you to visit the website because SCORE is a nonprofit organization, a national organization. We have a chapter office in Appleton, services Appleton, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, and we provide free mentoring service to business owners and those who would like to start a business. We offer free advice in the areas of marketing, accounting, banking, cash flow, IT, HR, strategic planning, manufacturing. So if you're thinking of starting a business or you are growing your business or you have an issue you need to deal with in your business, feel free to contact us at SCORE at foxcities.score.org for free confidential mentoring to help you with those issues. We also team up with each other. We have about 40 mentors in our chapter, and we can bring resources and knowledge to you to help your business succeed. We'd like to thank the sponsors who bring the program to you each week. Our sponsors include Fox Communities Credit Union, Albertson Hailing CPAs, Epiphany Law, located on north side of Appleton, also eBiz Results, located in Oshkosh. Mike Pulvermacher and his team provide us with the BizTalkWithScore.com website, and we thank them very much for that new website we've had now for about a year, I think. And we'd invite you to visit our website at biztalkwithscore.com. On that website, you can listen to previous programs. They've been archived since about late 2010. So if you missed a show, you can go back and listen to what the guest had to say that day. And we also want to thank the Business News for being a sponsor. They promote our program in their biweekly periodical called The Business News. Jerry Mader and Larry Desch do a great job. If you're a business owner and you're not subscribed to The Business News, you really should be. For $20 a year, you get some very relevant information that could impact your business and give you some good leads and keep you informed as to what's going on in the business trends and industry in Northeast Wisconsin. We also have other things that SCORE does. We have a Simple Steps program. Randy, tell us about the Simple Steps program that we're just finishing up this next week.
Right. Our last session is going to be this coming Wednesday night, the 26th. It's going to be at the chamber office, at the SCORE office, and it will be from 6 until 9. We'll be talking about something that's near and dear to just about every entrepreneur's heart, and that is, where do I find the money? We'll be talking about what you need to do for traditional lending, and we'll also be talking about what's involved as far as some of the non-traditional ideas, things that you need to know about, different areas, including things like crowdfunding or how you work with angel investors or what you need to do for equity investors, equity financing, all those various areas. So if you're interested in but have not attended, you're still available to come in. You can pay at the door. As I said, it starts at 6 o'clock. We'd ask if you're going to be walking in to come in about 5:30 so we can get you registered. It's down in the lower area, and you enter on the side of the building at the SCORE chapter. And we're going to have a really important speaker there. In fact, Mr. Tony Bush is going to be doing part of our program for that. And so it should be a very, very worthwhile package.
Does that program also include a review of the ratios?
Yes.
The leverage ratio, debt service coverage, how to read that information and how to generate that by operating your company?
Yes, we went through a whole session last week regarding all
Mary
of the different types of financial statements and how to put them together, what they all mean and why you need them for your business. And yeah, now we'll be kind of wrapping that up so that we get to kind of take it into what the banker wants to see and why those ratios are important to him.
Again, that location is 125 North Superior Street. That's the Chamber Building. We'll be in the lower level starting at 6 o'clock, goes until about 9 o'clock.
Right.
And the cost is $25 a person.
$25 each, yes.
Good.
By the way, while we're talking about some special things, I just wanted to bring something up to people, too. I said one of the areas we're going to be talking about is crowdfunding. On a regular basis, we get alerts from the Better Business Bureau, and one of the alerts that just came out this week was in regard to crowdfunding. What they had was they found there was a scam going on. One of the biggest crowdfunding organizations, which is
Kickstarter,
and they had to pull one of the programs that they had because it was a fraud. When you're getting involved, if you're thinking of doing anything as far as supporting a crowdfunding program, be very, very careful that you do your homework. You have to go back, look at the individual, find out more details about it besides just what's presented on the crowdfunding website. So,
and I think it speaks to the thoroughness and the efficiency of places like Kickstarter and other crowdfunding websites that they do their due diligence and they did recognize it and they did stop it.
Right. Yeah. So be aware.
It's another
There's a possibility you could get burned on that one.
We do have a sponsor. We want to announce an event that's being put on by one of our sponsors, Epiphany Law. Epiphany Law has been a sponsor of BizTalk for the last year, and previously they've been a sponsor for a number of years, so we're glad to have them as a sponsor. And they're putting on an event this coming on June 26th. It's going to be located at the Royal St. Patrick's Golf Links in Wrightstown. It's a seminar on family cottage protection. So if you own a lake cottage, hunting land, or a northern retreat that you treasure, and you recognize the need to protect your cottage and the memories associated with it, but have you taken the simple steps to ensure that the property is preserved? So please join the attorneys at Epiphany Law on June 26th at 6 p.m. for a complimentary seminar on strategies to protect your cottage and ensure family harmony. They will highlight techniques used to provide creditor and divorce protection, transition of ownership, and a structure for management and payment of expenses. Space is limited, so reserve your spot today. You can call Amanda at Epiphany Law, 996-0000, or you can email Amanda at afrederick, F-R-E-D-R-I-C-K, at epiphanylaw.com. Again, that's going to take place on June 26th at 6 p.m., at Royal St. Patrick's Golf Links in Wrightstown. One more thing, Randy, about veterans. What can veterans do to attend our seminar?
Oh, yeah. This is the last program that is going to be under that particular veterans fast launch program.
Okay.
But if you are a veteran who want to attend this Wednesday night session, simply go out to score.org. That's the national website. Look up under the veterans quick launch program, and there's a coupon out there that allows you to attend for free. So any veterans who would be interested, just head on out there, and we'll be happy to honor that coupon for you.
Thanks, Randy. We'll take our first break here. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll introduce you to John and Sarah Raines of the Frame Workshop. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And welcome back to Biz Talk this morning. Our guest this morning is John Raines, and his lovely wife Sarah is here with him. And John and Sarah own the Frame Workshop located on Northland Avenue in a new facility. So, John, good morning. Sarah,
good morning, Tony and Randy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you on the program this morning. Tell us a little bit about who you are, John, Sarah. Who are you, and what do you do, and where are you located? What does your shop do?
The Frame Workshop opened in 1978 on Northland Avenue. We had gone through a process of looking for different communities that we felt were relevant to the needs of our business was going to provide, and we chose Appleton. Actually, I knew like maybe one person in the community before we moved here. And we were sitting in Camelot Village on Northland Avenue for 31 years and recently moved in 2009 in the height of the recession and decided this was a good time to expand and moved half a mile down the street. And we're now located at 430 East Northland Avenue. Northland Avenue, right next to Ace Hardware and Memorial Square Plaza. So we're right in that little complex there.
John, what does the Frame Workshop offer? What do you do there? You do a lot of different things.
Sarah, I'll let Sarah share that. Obviously, our forte when we first started was custom framing, and back in the 70s and 80s, we even offered do-it-yourself framing, which has kind of gone by the wayside. But custom framing is still our core business, and we do both individual custom framing as well as a little bit of corporate framing for industry.
We're also a gift shop, home decor. We offer a lot of service with helping people designing in their homes. The framing just kind of led into having gifts and home decor items because they relate to each other. And so when we expanded, we were able to add a lot more into our business.
Mm-hmm. Your shop is very beautiful. Both Randy and I were in the store in the last week or so, and it smells very nice. You've got a wonderful selection of very authentic gifts from Europe and around the world.
I'm really glad you noticed the smells. That's a good thing. that's a key part of any retail business as well.
Hard to miss, though.
No, that's good.
It's very attractive. It's very enticing.
We, you know, and you mentioned the European products. We one of the reasons we expanded was not only to have a greater visibility and a greater presence during a recessionary time period, but also to allow us to showcase a lot of the products we were carrying. Over the last 20 years, we evolved, and the changes that went through our business didn't happen overnight. So we evolved in carrying home decor and Christmas ornaments, nutcrackers, German pyramids. And in that process, in our old location, unfortunately, very good location, very high visibility, great traffic flow. But unfortunately, during Christmas, when our Christmas items came out, a lot of our general gift items had to be hidden. Mm-hmm. And this kind of defeated one of the basic concepts of retail. When the traffic is running through the door, you don't want to not show people what you do.
Right.
Okay, and you were just mentioning the fact that, you know, that was a recession period and so on. Instead of doing what a lot of people did, which was to kind of pull back, relax, and wait until it kind of blew over, you took a giant step moving from an established location into a brand new one. Can you kind of fill us in on your thinking? How did you decide to do that at that time?
As you know, a lot of business decisions are planned. Sometimes luck is involved. Need is involved. In this case, we had been growing our business to the point that we knew we needed to expand. We'd actually had architectural drawings created back in 2006, 2007, and held back at that time. And Randy, you're absolutely right. During a recessionary period, it is very human to pull in and protect and reserve what you have. We were approached by the landlords of the current building that we're in when the recession hit, and with a little bit of analysis, we decided that it was actually a good time to utilize those entrepreneurial spirits and take another risk, another chance. And so crunching the numbers, it worked out very well for us.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break here, John, Sarah, and then we'll come back right after that. We'll give out the phone number, invite people to call in and ask questions, and we'll listen to more about how you've built the Frame Workshop here in Appleton. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And we work, and we have fun when we're working, just like John and Sarah Raines. They've enjoyed working in their shop for 35 years. You're listening to Biz Talk this morning, and our guest this morning is John and Sarah Raines. They're the owners of the Frame Workshop in Appleton on Northland Avenue. John, tell us a little bit about what inspired you to start the business 35 years ago. You have a great story.
Good question. I was finishing up a degree at Ripon College. That's what actually brought me to Wisconsin, was the predominance of really nice small liberal arts schools. So after a stint in the military, I came to Wisconsin, and as I was finishing up my last couple of years, I was earning some extra income by doing wedding photography at the time. And as an adjunct, every once in a while, something needed to be framed. Well, there's a relationship there between art, photography, and custom framing. And as I looked at business ideas when I was finishing up, I recognized that I was a bit of a jack of all trades and enjoyed doing lots of different things. So I explored the ideas of opening a small business. And as I explored that concept, I looked at several ideas of retail photography, studio, camera stores, and custom framing. And the more I got into the framing area, the more that appeal came to me, because it required both mechanical and aesthetic skills. And so I sent away for some information on a franchise, examined this at the time, elected not to go with the franchise. And so the next question was, where do I locate the business? And being very open and businesslike, I explored different communities. I looked at Green Bay, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Appleton, the Twin Cities, Wausau, Stevens Point. And I kept reoriented back to the Fox Cities. And Appleton in particular, it had a nice diverse array of demographics, the spread of people who had lived elsewhere in the world, the diversity of industry that existed here made it ideal. So in September 1978, with the idea in hand, I started knocking on the doors of banks.
Okay.
You've done your research. You did a lot of research to make sure you were doing the right thing.
Yeah. When you were talking, I can hear the fact that you actually, you know, this was not something that you just jumped into. It sounds like there was a business plan in the background there somewhere. Could you expand a little bit on how you put that plan together? What effect that having a business plan, had on your success so far?
You know, it did take time. In fact, Randy, you talked about your friends criticizing your radio show, and when I was doing this planning stage, a lot of friends came up to me and said, "I thought you were opening a business."
I think I used the word critique.
Oh, critique,
not
okay.
Criticize.
You did use the word critique. So a lot of people who knew me well would ask, "Aren't you opening up a business?" I said, "Yeah, it's a process, and it does take time." And so when we were looking for locations in Appleton area, we were at the same time putting together a formalized business plan and loan portfolio, if you will, so that when we approached the banks, we had the image and the numbers to substantiate our desires and our requests. So we included a lot of different things in there. When you're approaching banks for financial support on a business idea, we have to recognize that they're in business too, and a lot of the language and the information we're sharing with them is foreign.
Right.
So we put together photographs, layouts, blueprints, demographical information, basically providing them with a quick and easy tool so that a loan person, a loan officer can ask more questions and or find what he needs right there.
Right. Yeah, we try to explain that the banker doesn't know your business. That's why you have to bring the information to him in your plan. So very important.
I'd like to give out the phone numbers right now. If you have a question for John or Sarah, or you'd like to call in and ask John and Sarah how their business is going or something about how they started their company, we invite you to call. Our number here in Appleton is 281-1150, 281-1150. And if you're outside the Appleton area, you can reach us on the TDS Metricom toll-free line, 866-887-1150.
Hey, John, just one other thing. You started talking there a little bit about lenders. How about your experience with them? Was that a lot of fun, or did you have some ups and downs with your lenders?
I think especially when you're young, and I was 21, 22 at the time. Any young person with a brand new business with no background in it is going to run into some ups and downs. And so, yes, you're going to get some negative responses. I guess the key there is to listen. When someone responds back with a negative reply, you want to find out why that answer is negative, mm-hmm. So that you can either respond to that or make changes that will generate a positive response. So yeah, we knocked on several bank doors, and we went from a negative to an almost to a yes.
Oh, that's a good way to do it. Okay.
It's a learning process, John, as you point out, and it's good for business owners to go to more than one lending institution and get the perspectives and get the different opinions. And you pointed out something pretty important. The lenders are in business, too, and not all lenders understand this kind of business or that kind of business or that kind of business, or maybe they don't want to make that kind of loan. So it's important to go to different lenders and try to get as much information as you can. As you built your business, John, for 35 years, it's an outstanding record, and you've been very successful and just moved into a new building. Recap for us some of the challenges you faced along the way in terms of the economy and changing demographics and even marketing your company.
You know, you talk about business plans. We've actually created three different business plans in 35 years, when we first started, of course, and when we expanded in 2009 to our 6,000-square-foot store now. In between, we also did a major renovation and update of our business. And I think that's part of the answer to your question, is that you don't want your business to look like it was created in 1978, because mm-hmm. it is 2013 after all. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be fresh, alive, changing, evolving. And all good businesses do that. They maintain certain elements of continuity, but at the same time, they evolve. So we did a business plan back in the late 1990s, expanding our business, adding point-of-sale software and computers, adding a computerized mat cutting machine using the custom framing industry, remodeling the store, giving it a facelift. Some of those expensive items we lumped together as one package and did another business bank loan proposal at that time with a business plan. Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned something that changes the wonderful world of the digital world we live in, how has that affected the way people bring you stuff?
Well, custom framing is a very personal type item, even from the business standpoint too, and it's still touchy feely. So most consumers come to us and work with one of our designers, like Sarah and some of our other staff members, and they want to be involved in the process because it is personal.
Right.
Whether it be World War II memorabilia,
Vietnam memorabilia, which you're doing a shadow box for me on.
Graduation type material, that's very personal, wedding items, or family vacations, etc. So it's either got a monetary value or an intrinsic value to the consumer. So it wants to be handled properly, so that it is preserved and safe, as well as looks really, really nice. Mm-hmm. Now, in the changing world, the digital age, a lot of people buy things online. We actually established a website in 1999. And the goal was to draw people into our business over and above the traditional methods of advertising and marketing, but also to sell some of our products online, mm-hmm. of which custom framing is not.
Yeah.
Custom framing still is more touchy-feely.
Okay.
John, when you started your business, and you're very skilled, you have a certified picture framer designation, and you're also designated as a guild commended framer, and you explained before the show those are U.S. and U.K. designations. You mentioned that there are only a few people in the world have both. How did you come to get involved in the industry? And you've done a lot of training and teaching on framing and so on. You're involved internationally. Explain how that's beneficial to you and the growth of your company.
You know, before we ever opened our business, I actually had taken several of the accredited courses in the industry. Mm-hmm. And education is one of those things that's ongoing. You never stop learning, and you want to keep an open mind of learning new little things, even if you've got lots of experience. Well, in that process, it was probably early on, 1980s, I was approached by a gentleman who was teaching some business classes and some framing classes. He visited our store. He was teaching at the National Convention in New Orleans, saw the work that we were doing, and invited me to be a speaker. And I'll never forget that day. I drove to New Orleans. That was a long drive.
Mm-hmm.
sat in my first seminar in a panel of four. And in the room were about 700 people sitting on the floor. It was packed. And they set me up to be the last speaker. well, that was the worst thing they could have done. You know, as the last speaker, you just had more time to sit there and get nervous.
Right.
And from that point forward, I was asked to do other talks and presentations. So to this day, I do a lot of training around the world. I've done seminars in Australia and Russia and Europe. I've been tagged as a consultant to a couple of the industry manufacturers and do presentations for them. And as a side benefit, of course, when you teach, you learn.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And you guys know that by some of the guests you've had
Absolutely.
Here. You know, as you present and you teach, you glean back as much information as you're giving. And so a lot of that information I take back to our own business, and I'm able to utilize it there.
One of the things we stress when we're talking about marketing for people is, you know, how do I present myself? What is my value to the business? And if you can come in and say, I'm an expert, I am the person you come and talk to about this particular topic or subject, is one of the ways that you can market your business and make it stand out, separated from everybody else. So it's an excellent business strategy that you're following.
Thank you. In fact, you mentioned those credentials. The second one, the UK credential, I achieved and obtained in the UK. And, of course, the language is a little different.
Right. Yeah, they speak English.
They speak English. English, we speak American, and they're not always the same. That I did predominantly because I was teaching worldwide, and I sought that credential to give my presentations a little more substance. The American credential, the Certified Picture Framer, is a real and valid certification. And people sometimes will ask, really, in the picture framing industry? Mm-hmm. There really is certification? Yes, there is. And it demonstrates that you've got a working knowledge of all the aspects of custom framing. And there's only a handful of CPFs, for example, in Wisconsin, maybe about a dozen. And that means that the consumer then brings you something to be framed with confidence. Mm-hmm. So seeking out that type of certification not only makes you hone mm-hmm. your own skills, learn the things you should learn, but also gives the consumer confidence in you as well.
John, tell us again where you're located, what's your website, your phone number, if folks wanted to get a hold of you. Sarah?
Oh, hi. we are at 430 East Northland Avenue. Our landmarks are Memorial Florist. We're next door to them and to Ace Hardware. Our hours are Monday through Friday, 10 to 7. We're open Saturdays, 10 to 4. And over the Christmas season, excuse me, November and December, we are open Sundays as well.
And what's your website address?
Oh, that is www.theframeworkshop.com.
Thank you. Again, I'll give out the phone numbers. If you have a question for Sarah or for John, you can reach us at 281-1150 in Appleton, 281-1150. If you're outside Appleton, use the TDS Metricom toll-free line, 866-887-1150.
Okay.
Tony, I know people sometimes reach out to both of you, you and Randy, after the program. If anybody wants to reach me directly, feel free to send me an email or stop by the store and look for me if I'm there.
Okay, and it's great. John at the Frame Workshop?
John at theframeworkshop.com is my email. I'd be more than glad to share information or answer
Excellent.
Questions.
Thanks.
Okay. Now, one of the, you know, talking about the marketing and how you've done all this good stuff and so on, we just gave out all kinds of ways to contact. What about the use of social media? Today, everybody wants to know, do you use that? Have you found that to be something of value to your business?
We have, and of course that is a real hot topic.
Oh, absolutely.
And it has been for a number of years now. It's been around, and of course social media is a evolving, changing thing. And I guess as when I answer that question to retailers, whether you be a picture framer, a gift shop, or in retail in general, I would answer it a couple different ways. We have embraced social media. We have a Twitter account. We have a Facebook page. We have a business Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess the number one piece of advice is, they're called social media, meaning they're social, meaning you have to be involved with them. So recognize that you don't always have the time to attend and that garden, to take care of things. So if you don't get involved or hire somebody else who can take care of that for you. So in the retail sector, Facebook probably has great advantage and great usage because it's personal and business together. Mm-hmm. If you do a lot of B2B, of course, LinkedIn is a good tool.
Right.
Before we take our last break, I'd like to ask both of you, what do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
For me personally, it is knowing that I'm working for myself, and I enjoy what I do very much. I love my job. I love getting up and going to work every day. working with people and having the flexibility to have my own hours. But the misconception there is that you can work whenever you want. It's not true. I have to work very hard and very long hours.
Yep. I agree with that. That idea of you can work your own hours, but as long as you put in 75 hours a week, you're fine.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's that that love and that passion of creating something, not mm-hmm. just creating the products that we do for custom framing and the products we sell in our store, making people happy, but also mm-hmm. creating and shaping a business. Mm-hmm. Because when you have an independent business, you are adding a value to your local community. And a lot of people recognize that fact, that there is value.
One of the things we usually ask when we have a family team like this is, how do you work with that as being a husband and wife, being in business? You're there during the day and you're there at night. You're there, you know, it's there with you. How do you handle being together in business?
Being the smart man, I'm going to let Sarah answer that first so I can agree.
One of the things is working on your strengths and your weaknesses. One of John's strengths, obviously, is being a marketing person, whereas I'm more of the face of the store, the person that works with my public and all the consumers that come in, and my skills in design. John has skills in design as well. But he enjoys what he does. So we mm-hmm. separate a little bit and each have our own work that we do within the store. And so we kind of do our own thing, and it's beneficial to our business because he takes care of one end of it and I take care of the other. At the end of the day, we might talk about what happened, but we're not on top of each other all day. It is a business we're running, so
great
it works well.
And I think that shows. I think it shows when you walk in the store. It's a very complimentary team. With that, we're going to take our last break. We'll be coming back on the other side. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Because I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. And welcome back to Biz Talk. We're having a great conversation this morning with John Raines and his lovely wife, Sarah, who are the owners of the Frame Workshop in Appleton on Northland Avenue, right between Memorial Drive Florist and Ace Hardware. They just moved into that facility a few years ago, and it's a great facility. We've been talking about their experience in starting the company and staying active in the industry and conforming to and responding to economic and demographic changes, customer base, and so on. And, John, we wanted to ask you a question. Every business owner eventually faces this point in their development of their company is transitioning the company. Have you – tell us or share with us, if you can, some of the thoughts and when you started and considerations you have in transitioning.
You know, about 2 years ago, we were a finalist in the Fox Cities or Retail Business of the Year Award, and one of the questions they asked was that transition-type question. And half-jokingly, I responded with, well, I married a younger woman. And that was – and, you know, and the truth is there is obviously a slight degree of truth to that answer. However, realistically, any good business is looking at the next stage in the back of their heads, should be all the time, or a lot further away than the end of the game. And so when we expanded in 2009, we'd thought about it prior. And when we expanded our business, we did so for several reasons. Was in the middle of the recession, we wanted greater visibility, we wanted stability, and we wanted to continue to grow. We'd already become diversified in that we do custom framing, we do gifts, home decor, as well as an online presence. And we wanted all three of those areas to equally grow so that our business reached a volume that we had a business worth selling.
Okay.
I recognize that too many small businesses, they end up selling out, and all they're selling is themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you only have, you know, and when you're the business, that's one of the mistakes that I know a lot of people do, is that individual, the face, like you said, the person who's behind the counter is the business. You really don't have a value to sell. So planning on being able to actually, you know, market your business is a great idea. It's one of the ways to transition out. So that sounds like that's what your goal is eventually to build the business to the point where it's going to be a valuable commodity on the market.
A sizable business that some of those people who acquire businesses are looking at it, that somebody else can obviously run the business.
Mm-hmm.
Also, part of that is being sensitive to the fact that opportunity may present itself at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we've talked about that as far as being prepared with numbers, knowing what we're carrying as far as inventory and marketing worth of the business, what we would accept as an offer, how we would leverage this, et cetera, so that if somebody does knock on the door and does show interest, we're ready to say, okay, let's talk.
Great.
John, there's another attribute to a successful company that's been in existence for 35 years and growing, and that is the ability to maintain a staff, work with employees. How would you comment on your staff and your employees? You've had some longevity there.
We have a great staff, and we've got four to six employees, part-time and full-time. And we've had a history of having wonderful people work for us that have worked for us for many years. That's always tricky. That's probably one of the biggest headaches and one of the greatest assets of running a small business is staff.
Mm-hmm.
And hiring people as a private independent type business is always a little trickier too, because unlike the corporate world, typically retail businesses couldn't offer a lot of the benefits that the corporate employers could offer.
Mm-hmm.
What we can offer is flexibility of hours and a nice working environment and a small type retail environment where you're being creative.
Mm-hmm. And the ability for the employee to really gain a sense of gratification working with your customers and being recognized for their contributions.
Absolutely. I mean, I've sometimes, because I'm more of the backdoor person taking care of the IT and our website and the marketing, et cetera, of our business, people don't see me on the show floor on the shop floor like they do Sarah. So I've often had to fill in, and if I'm in the front, someone will come up and they'll look
May
at
I
me
buy
like,
this?
Yeah.
May I buy this?
No, they want some designing skill, and they'll ask for one of our staff members.
Yep.
And then I'll look at them and say, well, don't you know who I am? I'm actually very well known in the industry.
Right.
No, they want that staff person. And that reflects on the ability of that staff person. They've got a rapport and a relationship
right.
with that person.
Okay. One of the things we talked to off mic earlier was the fact that somebody coming to work for you gets the opportunity to learn the business. And again, when we're talking to people who want to start a business and so on, that's one of the first questions we ask them is, have you had experience in it? So, again, it's a hard thing. It's kind of a double-edged sword for a small business like yourself, but you can find that people can learn the trade, learn the business, and understand it from you if they have any thoughts about going into the business themselves.
That does help. And,
yes.
and but even employees, too. We've often asked staff members or new employees will ask, well, how long does it really take to become a picture framer?
Right.
Expecting maybe 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 9 weeks. And
yeah,
I've had them say a year, 2 years.
Yeah.
It takes a while.
John, we ask our guests to leave a biz tip for the listening audience. Do you have a biz tip for us?
I do indeed. What I would suggest to any retail or small business person is, any business person is to create a list of the 10 most important things that you need to be that needs to be done for your business. Then select two or three of those items that you are good at, that you personally would like to handle because you know that you are the best person for that task. Delegate the rest. As entrepreneurs, we tend to try to do everything ourselves, and that's not the best thing to do. So assign an outside person and relinquish some of those tasks.
That's a great tip, John. Thank you very much. Our guest next week is going to be Brian Kopetsky of the Appleton Public Library will be here talking about research and things. And we want to remind you about the Simple Steps program coming up Wednesday evening,
session number five.
Yeah,
just as an aside, we did have Brian as our guest at one of the Simple Steps programs, so he did a nice job for us.
Well, we want to thank you for tuning in this morning. Thank you, John, for being here with us.
Tony, Randy, thank you so much. Sarah had to leave. She had to open the store in about 30 seconds, so she's already gone.
Part of those 75 hours.
That's right.
Want to thank you for tuning in this morning. You've been listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.